This is Method Not Magic, the college admission and test preparation podcast.
Hi, this is Nitin Sawhney, Managing Director of Tutoring at Marks Education, and I'm here to talk to Ryan Blodgett, Senior Tutor at Marks Education, about the AP Econ exam this year and about the changes because of the digital format to at least one of the exams. So, hey, Ryan, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Looking forward to talking about economics.
Oh, wonderful. So, Ryan, should people start their preparation with a baseline test?
For the most part, yes. There are lots of practice FRQ sections for the economics APs. And I should say, for both AP macro and AP micro, the study process, the exam format, the most important high-level topics are pretty similar. So that's why we're grouping them together. And our advice for studying for them will be pretty much the same for both. And I'll highlight any differences we get to that matter. But for a baseline test, I think it generally does make sense to start with one for students that can, at least if they've already finished or nearly finished the class. A lot of schools offer AP Micro and AP Macro each as a one semester class. So if you've already finished one of them and are still just a couple months, 2 or 3 months into one of the others, then you'd want to start with a baseline for the class that you're finished with and wait until you're a little further into the second one. Wouldn't make sense to take a baseline macro test, for example, if you're only 2 months into the class.
Right. That makes really good sense. Whereas if you finished a class 2 months ago, a baseline test might tell you, oh yeah, I've forgotten this particular part of the course, or remind you areas that you've forgotten. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And so when should one start studying for the AP exams?
Usually March. For both of the AP econ tests, I think that's a good time. There is a fair amount of content to get through. A lot of it's skills-based, which takes some practice, but it's very doable and it's in nice individual chunks. So it's relatively easy to pick one subject area from a course to study at a time and just work your way through different topics. But March should give you plenty of time unless you're especially far behind, and then you might have to start a little bit earlier. And if you're doing really well in the classes, keeping up and your classes are doing in-class work to prep for them, then probably April would be fine.
Right. And so if I've taken AP Micro first and I'm in AP Macro now in the spring of my, say, junior year, how much time would I need to review the micro material that I did last semester?
I think then starting in March still makes sense. It should take you, that would give you a couple months of time to do it, which should be plenty, assuming that you did decently well in the class. And as part of that studying, if you're studying for both of the APs, I think you focus on the class you already took primarily at first, and then add in the other class that you're still taking once you get a little further in that course. It wouldn't make sense to start cramming for the AP whenever you still have a month or two of course material left to cover. On the other hand, if you know the class that you're in now, so if you're saying you're in AP macro second semester, if from what you're doing in class, it looks like you're probably not going to get through the full course material that's covered on the AP, then you'd probably want to start fairly early, still maybe around March, but studying that material from the end of the class that you might not get to before the test.
Right. So it must be a challenge to study for both exams while you're in the course for one of the two exams and have finished the course for the first one. So what is the format of these exams? Are they similar to the other APs?
They are. They each start with a multiple choice section. It's 60 questions in 70 minutes, and then you get a short break, you come back, and then you have the free response question section. So similar to most of the other APs. And for the free response section, you have one long question and two short answer questions. These are all multi-part questions. So think, you know, 1A, 1B, 1C, 1D, that sort of thing. And they all, most of these questions of the free response questions will require students to draw graphs. On the paper version, you're graded on your graphs, and on the digital version, they don't have a good way for you to upload them, so the questions aren't scored based on actually drawing them, but you'll probably still have to draw them to figure out what you need to for those questions. The grading on the entire exam obviously the multiple choice, but also the FRQs is entirely content-based, though it's not like something like a history exam or an English exam where some of your points might come from eloquence, depth, things like that. Here, they're looking for very straightforward, simple, to-the-point answers, where as long as you're getting the point forward that they're asking for, that's plenty.
Wonderful. So let's go back to one of the things you said. You talked about the graphing part not being required in the digital version of the exam, that on the digital version, you don't draw a graph, but you might, or don't submit a graph, but you might need to draw a graph in order to figure out the answer to the question, right?
That's right. Yeah, it's one of the biggest differences this year between the regular paper version, which is going to be offered basically the same as it had been other than last year, every year for decades. The digital version is covering the same content and will be overall about the same structure, but they're changing the free response questions slightly in that way so that you can do it entirely typed and not have to draw and scan or take a picture of graphs. So that does change how you write your answers, because usually you would spend some amount of your time on all those questions, writing your graphs and very nicely labeling them, making sure to get everything so you don't get a point off. Whereas now you're not getting scored on that explicitly, but to do the kind of economic thinking you need to do to get the right answer and figure out the question precisely, you will need to draw the graph for the most part. I know a lot of students feel like once they are comfortable in the class, they can get away with doing a lot of the sort of graphical thinking in their head. And sometimes they can, but there's a lot of room for making a careless error whenever you do it that way. For most questions on the FRQs and even a lot of the multiple choice questions, drawing a graph, whether it be a quick, rough one or a big, complicated one, is worth the time and is a pretty necessary way of getting the full points.
Wonderful. That's exactly what I tell people. But yeah, so bottom line, make a graph, even if you're taking the digital version, because you'll need it to accurately answer the question. Make a rough version on scratch paper.
Right.
Right. Do you have a preference? Are you going to be recommending one test, the paper test or the digital test to your students?
I think not a strong recommendation, but I think for students who feel they can do so safely, I have a slight preference towards the paper version, mostly because it's such a known quantity. The paper version has not changed that much in many years. We have decades of released FRQs for the regular paper version, and the digital version without the grading of graphing, that's in part how the test was last year, but otherwise, there's very little in the way of released material for that. In fact, last year, even very little material came out after the test. So we expect that the College Board will release, or by the time this goes live, perhaps already has released some number of practice questions in the digital format, but it's going to be so much less than the volume of material available to match the paper version that for the paper version, we know how students should study for it. We know how to get a 5-0 for the digital one. We think we can figure it out, but it's a lot less sure. The other thing is on the multiple choice section, there's a meaningful difference. On the digital version, as a security measure, the College Board has set it up so that you have to do the questions in order and you can't move back and forth through them. So normally on a time test, most students who would want to at the end, if they had some time left, go back over, check over some questions they were not sure about. On the digital version of the AP economics tests, and at least most, maybe all APs in 2021, you can't move around questions like that. Once you see a question, you get one chance to answer it, you go on to the next question, and you can never go back. And it's a security measure to make it harder for people to share answers on the test, which makes sense, but also makes it harder to do the digital format. You do have some disadvantage not being able to go back and forth. So the paper one in that way is likely to be a little easier. It's more of a known quantity, but we certainly understand if people aren't in a situation where they feel like they can do the paper test safely. And some schools aren't offering the test in paper. Some people are forced to take the digital version, whether they like it or not, if their school isn't going to be hosting APs this year.
Right. Wonderful. That's a great response. Thank you. And so if you're taking the test on paper, of course, you can go back and forth between questions. If you're taking the digital test and you realize you made a mistake on number three because you're entering number five, which is a similar concept, and you realize that number three was incorrect, you just can't go back to number three, which can be a little unnerving or a little frustrating. That happens to me sometimes when I'm doing a test and I realize based upon a question number five, say that I did number three incorrectly.
Mm-hmm. I think the only real benefit to the digital version in terms of score potential is that you get to type your answers. But even that shouldn't make a big difference because this isn't the kind of AP exam where they're looking for long, wordy answers. You know, it's not like an AP literature exam when you want to write hundreds of words for every essay. Here, they're looking for very short, brief, specific answers that you have plenty of time to handwrite out in the time limit.
Great. This is wonderful. So what are the most useful tools for studying for the AP Economics exam?
So there's a lot of good things to use to study for this test. Students' notes from class and even their textbook can be helpful, although not necessarily the most efficient way to go about studying. There are some practice tests available online. There's only a few full released multiple choice sections. There are a few, though, especially if you're willing to do some creative Googling to try to find them. But there are lots of released free response questions on the College Board website. Examples from previous years, including grading notes, answer explanations, and example answers by other people with grading notes for them. So that's a very effective way to study. Do lots of practice FRQs, go over the answers, look at people's practice ones or example ones to see what kinds of things they got right, what kinds of things they got wrong. And you get a very good sense for what the College Board is looking for in these answers. There are also commercial outlines, commercial books for studying for these tests, which are pretty good in general. There's material on AP Classroom. My AP Classroom has more practice questions, official practice questions for both of the tests. And it has example videos for the class. The College Board over the last year or so has been putting out lots of explanation videos to try to cover all the content that some schools might be having more trouble covering this year than usual because of the pandemic. Let's see. And one other video resource there. There are lots of good AP review videos out there on YouTube. One source that I especially like is Jacob Clifford's micro and macro AP exam review videos. He goes through the main points of the entire course in one about 30-minute chunk. It's very fast, so it's something you'd probably have to pause and think about different parts of it, go back and re-listen to frequently. But If you are near the end of your studying and want one source to very quickly review everything, that's a great place to find it. So lots of good stuff out there. But to sum up, mostly do practice questions and go over them and look up the parts that you have specific trouble with. Easy to find resources for this test.
Wonderful. That was such a substantive response. So are some units more important to study than others?
I think so, but a lot of it comes down to how you're doing or how you did in the classes. Most people find that the most important parts of the material to study are the very early parts from the classes that you might forget about by the time you get to the exam. So things like production possibilities, curves, trade, and then also some parts of both classes just tend to be a little more difficult for most students than others. So some of the more quant heavy parts like formulas for elasticity from micro, for instance. The graphs are also an especially important part to study in general. Both AP Micro and AP Macro have a fair number of graphs, AP Micro especially. And, you know, like we talked about earlier, you really do need to be able to draw out all the graphs, even though on the digital version, you're not being graded on your ability to draw them. You just won't be able to figure out a lot of the questions unless you can correctly draw, label, and use graphical thinking for those different ideas. And let's see, in thinking about how you write out your graphs on the exam, by the way, note that there's no penalty for over-labeling. So whenever you're writing a graph on the paper version, label everything, over-label. You'll never get penalized for labeling something correctly that you didn't have to, whereas you'll often get penalized for not labeling something that they were looking for.
Wonderful. That's such a lot of useful information. Any last-minute tips? Any last tips for students?
I think main thing is start studying early if you can and do practice questions. You really want to know what the exam is like ahead of time. You don't want to walk into the AP not knowing how the questions are formatted or what it's going to look like. So do your studying early and you should be in good shape.
Great. Well, thank you so much for this, Ryan. And everyone, if you need help studying for either of the two AP economics exams, please reach out to us at markseducation.com. All the best in your studying.